morning, and thanks for tuning in KSLM this fine day here on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM as we now present Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Oh, good morning to you. Together on this wonderful day. Can you believe it's already Thursday? Oh, my goodness. The 21st of May, and we are together. It's 7:06 in the morning. I'm Stacy Ann. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. And for those of you listening online at kslm.news, thank you. You can follow us on Facebook at KSLM Radio. We're news that you can use, here to encourage, educate, engage, and empower you. And I want to remind you, if you have something that you want to talk to us about, we'd love to talk with you. You can call on the studio line, 503-589-1220. You can also email me, Stacey, S-T-A-C-E-Y, at kslm.news. Let us know what's going on in your community. We would love to partner with you in sharing the good news, and we certainly want to look at the news across the region. Brought to you by Bill Sunderland, Country Financial Sunderland Agency. He's my insurance agent, and I encourage you to give him a call, 503-885-0789. Looking at the regional news, of course, we know on Monday, Baker County, there was a decision by a judge out of Baker County in favor of several churches and businesses who said the governor's stay-at-home order had expired, and she had gone against her Oregon constitutional ability to extend that. And of course, that judge there in Baker County ruled in favor of the churches and the businesses. And within hours, I don't even think it was maybe 10 hours, there was an emergency ruling coming out of the Supreme Court in Oregon to put a stay. That means, again, we are back under the governor's stay-at-home orders. Now, this Friday, the 22nd, that's tomorrow, both sides, attorneys for both sides, have to bring their information to the Supreme Court for them to take it under consideration. And I've talked to several folks in the area, and they're wanting to know, how can we get involved? Can we do a letter-writing campaign? What can we do to let the judges know that we're oppressed and our businesses are affected and my life's been personally affected? I'm still not getting unemployment, all of those things. And in talking with Kevin Mannix and his staff and folks, attorneys who know the process, in honor of the process, you can certainly write Common Sense for Oregon. You can send info at commonsencefororegon.org. You can send them your story, your personal information, and they'll have that along with all the other information that they need for the case. But that's the most effective way to be heard at this point. Of course, I maintain getting a hold of our governor's office, getting a hold of your elected leaders in your district, letting them know how you're affected. You can just send them all your personal story. And I maintain, if they hear from us directly in all of us sending our messages and saying, hey, I still don't have unemployment. Hey, I want to get back to work. I think it will have an effect at some point. Good news coming out of Marion and Polk County. In fact, this is their press release. Marion and Polk County both have been approved now to open up, and we're in phase one. And essentially, that means they're encouraging businesses and churches and organizations to move forward in limited capacity while continuing to protect health of the community. Phase one of the approved community roadmap allows reopening of several types of businesses and services while keeping sanitation, physical distancing, face covering, and crowd size measures in place. Eventually, moving to phase two, phase three, we'll get back to normal. I don't know that we'll be back to normal. I think it's, as Terry was sharing with me this morning, the new abnormal. Yesterday, I experienced quite an interesting, again, another instance where I tried to go into a business and basically was hounded because I didn't have a mask. And it's just really, I've never experienced that. I've come close to that by those kinds of feelings when I've traveled internationally, feeling, looked at or wondering who I was and that kind of thing. But this almost felt criminal, not having a mask. I ended up not going into the business. But we are in interesting times for sure. And one of the things that I think is so important as individuals, as community leaders, that we stay engaged in the process, that we keep our eyes and ears open, and we bring encouragement, but we also bring facts, real facts of what's going on in the real life situation, because facts really help with fear. And we know that fear can immobilize people in tremendous ways. And one of the things that I wanted to do this morning with this show is I want us to look, step back a little bit and look bigger. Let's look globally at this situation. Let's take a glance. I know it's easy to look at our city and county and see the difficulty that we're facing here in our own homes and our families and lives by the pandemic. But I want to take a step back a little bit, maybe more of a global helicopter view, and how this pandemic is affecting not only our lives personally, but globally. Several years ago, I had an opportunity to travel with a team to India with Answer the Call International, and I'm going to introduce to you my friend Lee here in a moment. Let me tell you how that impacted my life. In 2013, I got to travel with this team, and it impacted my life in a way that I'm a changed woman. Certainly, knowing that our lives here in America and the freedoms and the liberties that we have, but also the resources, the rich resources, and even in this pandemic, even with businesses being shut down, even not getting unemployment, we still have safety nets of social service programs and places we can go. But in India, they don't have those kinds of safety nets, and often they turn to agencies and other mission organizations to help bring support and help. That is the case with Answer the Call International. There's a story to be told here, and it's personal to me. I love this organization, and it started as a grassroots organization, and I want Lee to tell the story, and I'm going to bring her up on the line here. Good morning, Lee. How are you today?
Hi, good morning, Stacey.
Oh, it's so good to hear your voice. Lee, I am so inspired. You are probably one of the most inspirational women that I know, and I'm so inspired by your story. And you and I have known each other. I was thinking back probably over 20 years at a minimum. And when I think of you, Lee, I think of a woman who is bold and courageous and brave, and moreover, who listens and moves when God instructs her. And you and I have, we've seen all kinds of storms come in and go through our lives, but one thing remains, we know that God is faithful. Will you share with our listeners, just give us a little background of how he planted the seed of Answer the Call International in your heart, and kind of how it got started?
Oh, boy, that's kind of a loaded question. I could go on and on, but to summarize, okay, so I've always had a heart for missions. I've always wanted to go, and when I first met these people in India, I was pretty much in my life at a place where, I don't know, I don't feel like I was moving forward or anything. I was just kind of like in a stale season, I suppose, and I got an email, a random email from India from a pastor telling me about the orphans and the widows and the lepers that they support. I was very intrigued by this, and I wrote back. My first letter was kind of like, well, who are you and what do you want? And they wrote back. They said, we don't want anything, but we don't have, we'd like encouragement, and we would like prayer. And they had no outside support at the time, and they weren't asking for money. They just wanted that encouragement. So we became friends. We began to write back and forth. And I would send pictures of my children. You know, I'm a single mom. Just kind of barely making it. And I'd send pictures of my children. They'd send pictures of baptizing people in the river and, you know, people with leprosy. And a few months later, I sent clothes, and then I saw these pictures of children wearing the clothes that my children had worn. And one day I sent money. I sent $200. At the time, that's all I had in my savings. I drained my savings. And, yeah, I was like, okay, God, well, if this is a scam, this is for you, you know? And what happened was I got pictures back of children eating rice with banana leaves.
Wow.
Widows with bags of rice and pastoral help. They sent pictures of everywhere that money went, and it stretched so far. I was just undone. And I saw that as little money as I had, how far it went, but that 100% of my money went where I wanted it to.
Right.
I saw proof of that. And that is where we come up with a model now that we give 100% of everything we raise.
Mm-hmm.
People work hard for their money, you know? Every dime goes to them, or one of the other countries that we now work with. But anyway, so stop me if I go too long with it.
Well, I think the interesting thing in the highlight of this that I think is important for our listeners to hear is you were a single mom working, yeah, getting by, and this opportunity came to help beyond you. Obviously, you were doing what you could do to take care of your children. And this is the part that just grabs my heart so much, Lee, and how I've watched you over the years, and just God bless your faithfulness. When we're faithful with the little things, He'll give us more and give us more responsibility. And so over the years, by your faithfulness and sharing the story, this has turned into now a nonprofit organization where you just said every dime that comes in goes out. It goes, yeah, back into the lives of those that you're impacted. So now, over the years, you've been able to take people, as I was able to go in 2013 with you, to experience this firsthand. And so the legacy is continuing on. How many countries is Answer the Call International impacting now?
Well, we work in the slums in Kathmandu, Nepal. And we've done work in Thailand. That's where my daughter lives. She's a missionary there. Panama, right now, we're helping raise pandemic emergency relief for the day laborers who were cut off their income and don't have help from the government. An orphanage in the Ukraine. And recently, we reconnected with a ministry in Pakistan where the pastor of a small church works with Christians that work in brickyards. And they live pretty much as slaves. The uneducated children, they work side by side. They're always working off loans they can never pay off. And so we just sent some money to them, and we're going to be supporting them pretty much full time. It's pretty exciting.
And so the website, answerthecallinternational.org, is that correct? Is that the website where people can learn more about this outreach and get involved and make donations? Is that the right website?
Yes, it is. We have now a pandemic relief button right when you pop on the front, but you explore the website and it talks more about what we do and where we've gone. All the pictures on the website, myself or my friends have taken. It's pretty cool.
When we come back from this break, Lee, I want us to talk more specifically about what's going on in India and the efforts and the relief that's going on. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use on this Thursday and every single day. And friends, you know, when we give and when we go beyond ourselves and help another person, it kind of lifts us up a little bit. And we're going to be talking about ways that we can impact our community locally. But what are we doing globally, and how are we leaving a legacy? How are we helping out? Because it does make a difference. All of our donations, all of our time, our treasure, and our effort makes a difference. We'll get into more specifics of what's going on in India and how it's so different than Salem, Oregon, when we come back. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. I'm Stacey Ann. We'll be back after this.
Hello, good morning. How you doing?
It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new day.
Good morning to you. Thank you for tuning in today. I'm Stacey Ann. It's 7:22 in the morning, and our weather today, showers continue to be likely on and off today. Good news is I found out, kind of peeked ahead, next week in the 70s. Ooh, something to look forward to, but we'll continue to see showers. If we even hit 60 degrees today, that'll be a blessing. And we are thankful for the rain, because my understanding from looking at the news around the region, we're actually down in rain showers. And so we need that to get us through the summer months, certainly, and certainly our farmers in the region. They want some good rain so we can have some good crops this year. Good news, right? I'm so glad to have you listening today, and I'm glad to share with you something very, very close and dear to my heart and an experience that I had back in 2013, where I had an opportunity to travel with a team of folks to India, where we had an opportunity to impact lives there. But moreover, we thought we were doing good works and going to bring some encouragement and hope. We came away with amazing treasures of new relationships and friendships, but also lives changed. Because I really saw for the first time before me church as I believe God designed it to be, believers helping one another. And we're going to talk a little more with that. But I had an opportunity to touch base with Chinna. Chinna is the son of Pastor Matthew, who they had the orphanage and the outreach there in India. And Chinna gave us a kind of a 1 minute update of where they're at. They are in the trenches. Chinna himself is a trained doctor and oftentimes will help the lepers and the people in the community. Medically, and he's also been abroad. He's traveled and done missionary work beyond India. His English is very, very good, and I'm going to share with you what his update that he gave me early this morning, and if I can get it working technology-wise, here we go.
Hi, this is Chinna from India. Thank you very much, Mom Stacy, for giving this time to talk about India situation. We have been locked down since 2 months. There is no work, no money, no food to eat. Elders and children are dying because there is no food to eat. People are starving and dying. And our lockdown is extended up to May end. Please keep in your prayers. We have been trying to feed, help the people. Every day around 1,000 to 1,500 people. Through the answer to the call, we are feeding them, providing water, provisions, rice, and whatever we can, and also the sanitizer, face mask to the people. Still much work is remaining to do.
And so that's Chinna. He's Pastor Matthew's son there in India. And Lee, as you hear Chinna this morning and hear his voice, he's like a child. He's like a grown kid to you. You've watched him over the years just expand this ministry. He's really our connection because he's the one that speaks English the most, right? He's our translator when we were there. I just think about, Lee, your answer to the call and the bridge of hope, you know, for such a time as this. What does that stir up in you when you hear his voice like that?
Well, I'm choked up. Mm-hmm. I'm completely full of tears here and mm-hmm. bursting with love. I'm so proud of the man that he has become. He was, you know, from the time I first went till now. He really is the glue that holds them together over there. And right now, you know, they're getting up at 3 a.m. and going to buy food. They are in the trenches. They're working nonstop, him, his family, the orphans, the children at their orphanage, his family. They're doing so much work. They're even holding church sometimes from like 3 a.m. to 5 so that they can fit it within the lockdown times and the few hours a day that they can actually get out.
Well, and because it's India and a different country and a whole different system, they're working with rules and regulations trying to make things work and reach the people in an even more intense lockdown than in Oregon here compared to where you're at in South Dakota, Lee. We've been under, you know, for 60-plus days, a pretty strong lockdown here where essential travel is what we're really limited to. Lack of, you know, sending us to jail for not having a mask or having, you know, gone beyond our essential travel. What is it like in India if they break the rules there? What is it like?
You know, I really don't know how they enforce it. So many of the places where we work are tribal villages.
Right.
And they're the outlying areas. I don't know quite what it's like in the cities. So people might have a little bit more freedom. But Jenna told me yesterday that there was a case, a migrant worker that just came home that I think is 3 doors away from them that has the virus now.
Oh, boy.
So it's coming closer to home. And I think out of fear, people are staying home. But out of necessity, they're getting out. I mean, these villages, there's no food. unless we bring the packets, there's no food. People are going out and hunting for mice, snakes, rats, anything that they can eat. But I do believe they're pretty strict because they're, you know, I don't know how they're enforcing it, but there's certain times they tell me they leave, and when they're back, they're just back.
Right, right. And so 1,500 people a day, they're putting all these packets of food together and distributing them and providing, they're a life source right in that community, Pastor Matthew, and they're building relationships. Do you know, have you ever found out how many people live right in that direct village?
Not in the direct village, but they've extended that not only to the village, but outlining villages.
Mm-hmm.
So they're doing local and they're doing a pretty wide spread too.
Yeah, and in that village directly, is there a new well? Is there a water source in that direct village?
Yes, yes. And at one time we had a massive water purifier that's broke. We actually need to get back there and fix that again.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a well, but many of these villages, the places where they take water, dehydration is a big part of this. So they take water packets.
Mm-hmm.
People are dying. I mean, they're literally dying. And part of that is when you're locked in your house and you've got the heat and you don't have proper nutrition, you're already malnutritioned, and then dehydration kicks in.
So when we talk about ministering needs to the needy, this is the neediest of the neediest in our world right now. I mean, there is no safety net. There's no governmental help or support that you're aware of, is there?
No, there's not. And unfortunately, in culture and religion, so many times they believe that they're where they are in their life right now because they sinned in their past life.
Well, and I
but
think
don't worry, the next one will be better.
Lee, let's talk about that. Let's talk about the hindrance to progress there when we come back from this break. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio. I have Lee Hayshon. She and I go way back, 20 years or so. She is the founder of Answer the Call International. We're talking about pandemic, not just here in our own backyard, but internationally. Stay tuned. We'll be back after this.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a good morning.
Good morning, Salem.
I'm
glad to have you along on this wonderful Thursday. Maybe you're in Silverton, South Dakota, Arkansas, Turner, Kaiser, wherever you're listening this morning. How about India? Shout out to our India friends who are listening online. I love technology and how that can work. It just not quite sure how to make it work to visit with Chin Alive. That's why he had done the last segment, a little clip for us, giving us an update. I'm Stacey Ann, glad to be along with you on this wonderful day. And I'm telling you, you know, what we are facing here with a COVID-19 and changing everything we know in our lives with the shutdown, and many of us here in Oregon experiencing where we can't even work, don't even have the option to work from home necessarily, and people still waiting to get unemployment. The good news is, even though last week Marion and Polk counties were not approved when many other counties opened up and went into phase one, the good news this week, starting tomorrow, both Polk and Marion County is opening up. The approved plan represents a collaboration with the state and county health experts, local leaders, and regional public health partners, according to Commissioner Chair Colm Willis. We are proud of what our communities and public health teams have accomplished to slow the spread of COVID-19 as we've all worked together to protect public health. We've also seen businesses close and livelihoods destroyed. Our plan encourages businesses, churches, and other organizations to move forward in a limited capacity while continuing to protect the health of our community. And, you know, I've maintained all along, if our cure is worse than the threat of the disease, you know, what's the recovery rate going to be like if we continue to have the businesses closed? And so we are celebrating the fact that on tomorrow, Friday the 22nd, we're going to be able to start going back to work and maybe having some dine-in. It'll be limited. It'll look different. But at least we can get back to some livelihood. And there's been some surveys nationally done here in the United States that people are feeling better about that. The anxiety levels are going down as now every state in the union, I believe Connecticut and Kentucky were the last. Every state in the union has some sort of opening of some kind, not certainly back to what we were prior to all of this. And so that's where our head has been for the last, 90 days, what's going on in America, what's going on in our own community. But we also need to be aware of what's going on globally, what's going on in these other areas. And many of us connected to churches or mission organizations may be getting emails and hearing some things along the line. Personally, I've been following and watching what's going on with My Heart in India and Answer the Call International. I've got Lee on the line. Lee and I go back many, many years. We've been in the trenches. We've weathered many storms. She is a champion for those that are most vulnerable. She is a mom, a foster mom. She works, her day-to-day job is working with those that are challenged by, would you say, disabilities? I don't even know what the current, the correct, politically correct term is. People you serve, is that the latest, Lee?
People that are developmentally disabled.
Yes, you've been in that field now for 20-some years. That's what you
28.
Do. 28 years. And so you're a woman filled with compassion, and you have a vision to help those around you. Lee, you really are someone that would give the shirt off your back to a neighbor, someone down the street. I've watched you. I've watched you in ministry and action. It's how you live. You are wanting to be used by the Lord. You're like our American, Calcutta sweet Mother Teresa, in a sense. And in an extension of that, here you are in India doing this work. So you get called, you get this relationship with a Pastor Matthew. You start this relationship. You are moved to do something. You see that they're being responsible with the resources that are being sent, and you start telling your story. And with that comes people lining up with you. Hey, I want to help. How can I help? How can I give you money? What can we do? We go on. Then eventually you start bringing people with you to show them to where you're at now. It's interesting in India, and I can't even put it into words, the spiritual oppression that is there. The darkness, friends and listeners, this is what I experience. I used to be offended by Halloween in a sense, the darkness surrounded by Halloween. But once I was in India and felt real darkness and the void of goodness in a sense, I those things don't even bother me anymore because I've experienced the oppression of people. And in India, talk to me a little bit, Lee, about how their religious look oppresses the people, their outlook and their caste system and their governmental system, how it so puts people in a place where they can't help themselves or help other people.
Well, the caste system is pretty brutal, and basically people are born into their life based on what their previous life was. So there's not much of a social system. The thought is, we can't help you because if we help you, we're not helping you because you have to go through this. This is your penance so that your next life will be better.
Hmm.
And so, many times they're just kind of forgotten and, you're getting what you deserve type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they're ignored. That's what I saw. They're just ignored.
Yep.
But when you come to Christ, as Matthew, Pastor Matthew did and his family, it's a whole different thing, right? Because the word tells us that we need to take care of those. We need to go visit those in prison. We need to take care of the orphans and the widows, right? So talk to me a little bit about what they're doing beyond the pandemic. We know that there's an urgent need right now, but what their ministry is on a day-to-day basis, what does that look like there in India?
Well, it's all about serving. It's all about giving, and it's about others. And so we have an orphanage, and they take not only orphans but semi-orphans. Might be a child of a family that can't take care of them, or the child of a widow. The widows are very, very oppressed, and so we would take the children in, raise them up, give them an education, schooling, hopefully set them on the path when they're older that they can be successful. and despite that caste system, really make something of themselves and make a change for India. There's two leper colonies and widows, numerous widows. There's outreach to the other pastors, the poor pastors in the villages, who in turn have their widows, orphans,
mm-hmm.
and the poor people around them. So it's very widespread.
Well, in the widows, here's something that really struck me that I remembered, that, you know, they may have been married, had a great life, and all of a sudden they're widowed, and they're really kind of abandoned, aren't they, in that culture?
They really are, unless they're fortunate enough to have their husband's family, you know, very loving towards them. Many times they're considered a curse. It's their fault their husband died. They must have some kind of hidden sin. They're put out. So if they put on their job application they're a widow, well, nobody's going to hire a curse. We actually have started sewing centers, and they help train these women to have some kind of a skill so that they can work, even if it's just amongst their neighbors. Yeah, they're very, very poorly treated.
Talk to me a little bit about the effort to secure land. And I know when we were there, many of the children were laying on the floors on mats in the church. That's where they would sleep. That's now different, right? There's beds. You're working on securing land to build a bigger area. Where are you at in that development?
Oh, it's awesome. I mean, we went from a hut and floor mats to, you know, the huts are down. We've got a building there. We actually, Stacey, finally put a deposit on some land.
Wow.
Literally a week or two before all of the shutdown. And it was a deposit to then wait to make sure there was no loans or liens on the land.
Mm-hmm.
2 acres. And once we do secure that, we're going to build home so that more children, up to 200, can come off the streets and have a safe place. Widows can be there to help with the children, giving them a safe place, having a free clinic as an outreach to the neighbors, just to help with medical needs.
And this is something that is going on in every day without a pandemic. Now you add on to there a pandemic, and then it becomes a broader outreach to the communities and to those pastors who are supporting communities with food. Talk to me a little bit about the kinds of ability that you, resources that are needed every day to keep feeding like they have been. How much have you put a dollar amount to that?
Yes. They said it is costing right now about $450 a day. Up to 1,500 people. So if you think on our standards, America, $450 a day, you wouldn't be feeding that many people.
Right.
The food, the price has gone up. It's harder to find. Some days they go and I think they get more fresh things than maybe another day. But we've got videos and many photos. They're so accountable to see what is going in these food packets. They're very healthy. They're very nutritious. For a lot of people, it's the only meal they got that day.
And are they? Is the sewing center also helping with masks and things like that, distributing those?
I believe so, yes.
Yes, so there's also
a perfect time.
A great time. And hand sanitizer and all of those things to help in these villages. How many pastors, do you know how many pastors they impact or have an outreach to beyond their direct ministry?
Oh, they've got a close-knit. The closest ones that they work closest with, I think there's about 35.
Mm-hmm.
But there are more beyond that. When I was there last year, there was a pastor's conference with the pastors and the women, which they call the Bible women.
Mm-hmm.
And there was about 200 of them.
Incredible. Incredible. Right. So bringing daily hope and nutrition through food, bringing water through the water packets. I know that there have been many wells. People have helped build wells there, too, in communities to bring fresh water to the area. What is the climate like this time of year there?
Well, on the news right now, they are warning about some terrible typhoons coming in. And that's always it's always a worry. We're not too far from the ocean, although there's not the impact like there would be right there. Flooding, rain, yeah, it's not what they need right now.
No, that would add more trouble to what's going on there. When you come back, when we come back from this break, Lee, I want to talk about how people can get engaged in the process, and I want to talk about traveling. And what you think your next trip will be when we come back. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use every day.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning to you together on this Thursday. It's 7:50 in the morning. I'm Stacey Ann. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. News that you can use. We're here to encourage, educate, engage, and empower you. Talking with my friend Lee, she's with Answer the Call International, a wonderful ministry that is impacting lives around the world. And when we're talking about pandemic and how it's affecting us personally in our day-to-day life, in our community, our neighborhood, our state, and our America, right, we also have to have perspective of how it's affecting those internationally. And I'm a big person about local government. You'll hear me talk about, you know, to get involved locally is so very important. We have wonderful organizations locally. We have Arches. We have a lot of the Union Gospel Mission, a lot of people dealing with our homeless issue here. And it's interesting, even yesterday as I was out and about driving around, I saw some homeless people and they had their little signs up asking for funds. Now, I have compassion towards these folks, but I also am in the realization that there are programs, there is help. There is housing assistance, there's food assistance, there's resources in the community to help people. Answer the Call International is that resource for India and the community in India that's directly impacted the village. What's the name of the village? Is it Rajahmundry?
No, that's the city near it. The village is Kesavaran.
Kesavaran, India, Rajahmundry. Okay, and so to get there, let's give people an idea of the journey that it takes to get to this village in India.
It takes a while.
Yes.
And usually we do everything on a budget.
Mm-hmm.
And we pay for our own tickets. Everybody raises the money or pays for their tickets. So we don't always take the fastest flight. We take the most affordable.
Right.
So, you know, from South Dakota, then you might have to go to Denver, then to California, then you hop over to, well, depends which way you go, really.
Mm-hmm.
Several countries before you get there.
Several hours that I recall when we went. And it's interesting. I remember Lee and I attended the same church there in Rapid City. And I said, Lee, I really feel I had this dream. And I feel like I'm supposed to help you on your next adventure to India. And you look straight at me in the eyes and said, I think you're supposed to go. And I'm like, nah, no, I don't think so. But I'll help you however I can help you. And you're like, yeah, we'll see. And certainly over time, it ended up that I ended up going and said yes. And I'm so glad I did. It impacted my life. And what I loved about the ministry, as you've said in the first segment, is that every dollar given is used to give to the people. You know, everything, the return on investment is incredible in the lives that are impacted and being the hands and feet of Jesus. And I love that. It's a helps, hands-on work taking place there and showing, demonstrating the love of Christ. And when people are interested in knowing about Jesus and knowing about the Lord, and of course, that's my Christian worldview, my biblical worldview is to share the hope of Christ and the hope that we have with one another. Lee, you've impacted so many lives, not only in India, but also in, you said, Thailand, and now in Pakistan and other areas in Nepal. What's your vision? What do you hope? You know, this pandemic kind of throws a wrench into a lot of things, but it also opens up new opportunities. Tell me about the new opportunities that are opening up and what's going on, where your vision is for the next few years. Are you there? I think I lost her. So what I'll tell you, what I know about what Lee is
I'm
doing.
Sorry. Oh,
there you are.
Yes. There I am.
Yay. Did you hear my question?
I did. Yes, okay. I could hear you just fine.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, during this pandemic, God has definitely expanded our hearts, and he's expanded our borders. So something good that has come out of it is that he brings us little ministries, and they're ones that don't have other outside support, and they're usually very very isolated, and they come to us. You know, we find them. So that's really exciting. It's exciting. When this is done, we are going to be traveling more, going to some more of our new ministry sites, the orphanage. We've got the land. We're going to be building the orphanage. We can take people over and start helping with that. I just think it's going to be awesome. And in answer to your question before, it takes a good 2 days to get there.
Oh my. So you need to have a lot of sleep leading up to that is what I remember, and have a couple days of recoup time when you get back. And it really makes sense to plan to go for more than a week, you know, maybe 14 days or so with the travel time. So when you are when you're planning the next great adventure, where do you will you go into India? Will you go over? Oh, of course, your grandbabies are in Thailand. Where's your next great adventure going to be?
Well, we always like to do Nepal at the same time because it's so close. And I like to squeeze in as many places as I can in one trip because with work, I can only go once a year. Definitely going to head back to India. In fact, do you know, I already checked flights because it's really hurting my heart not to be there helping right now. I want to be sending out food packets or packing them up. But there's no flights. There's no flights. We don't know when we'll go. We just have to wait on the world situation. We have to wait and see when flights start to open and when it's safe to go again.
Well, and certainly it's nice to know that we have Chinna and Pastor Matthew and their family and the pastors on the ground. We have the network of people to get the resources out. And I always say in the communities, that's the best way to go. But I know your heart's got to be hurting knowing that they're under incredible stress right now trying to get all of this work done. But it's awesome to know that all these years ago, however many years ago, God had set this up through you and through your network of friends. And fellow supporters, what is the best way for people to connect with Answer the Call International? And what is the, I know the urgent need for food. Is it just funds? Is it airline miles down the road? What are ways people have helped if they don't have, you know, cash to help? Can they donate their miles so that when things do
open up,
they can go?
Oh, yeah, that would be amazing. Donate miles. We would not say no. Since we pay for our own tickets.
Yes.
And prayer.
And
you know, pray for us.
Right.
The best way is to go on the website. We have a Facebook page that has some updates and just pictures and videos of what's going on for that visual.
And I'm going to post on our, I'll post these links on our Facebook page. And I'm also going to do, years ago, we had an opportunity to put a video together. And we found that again, didn't we, Lee? And so we're going to, I'll put that video on that has me kind of talking about the need in India. And certainly Answer the Call International. We'll put all those links on our Facebook page. And what is that website again? Will you share that with us?
AnswerTheCallInternational.org.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, thank you, Lee, for being a part of the show this morning and sharing your story and your heart. I know your story is so much more than we can even get into in 1 hour, but you are a champion. You're an inspiration to me, and I know so many lives. Thank you for saying yes to God and saying yes to going into the nations and spreading the good news. Thanks to Matthew, Pastor Matthew, Chinna, and family there. So very thankful for you in India on the ground. We keep you in our prayers, and more help is on the way, right, Lee?
Right, and maybe you should go next trip, Stacy.
Well, I need to renew my passport. I think I'm going to have to do that. Thank you, Lee. Have a wonderful day. God bless you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio. Oh, my. Last time Lee said, come to India, and I tried to sidestep it. Maybe there's another trip to India in my future. What do you think? You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use on this Thursday and every single day. My friend, you make a difference. Thank you for listening today. And remember, no matter what you're facing, over, under, around, or through, you and I, we're overcomers. Go and have a great day.